We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. A little bit of a new platform this week. We are live on StreamYard, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter/Periscope. So, we're live here, so anything can happen. I am Scott Jenstead. Join us always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you could please rate or review the podcast, that'd be great. Also, it will be available normally like it is on the audio stream on your iTunes, your Stitcher, or wherever you may happen to listen to podcasts. So we'll be on there normally too, but we're also going to be on video. If you are not watching live, you can then go to YouTube or any of those sites and watch it afterwards tomorrow or whenever you want to during the week too.
Right,
Jeff, how are you? I'm getting used to this new thing. It should be pretty good.
As Keith Olbermann said at the launching of ESPN2, "Welcome to the end of my career." Of course, it was kind of true with him in a little way, but
he kind of created that himself, I think, though.
Yeah. Let's hopefully not emulate that. I'm doing well. Fun day of baseball. Watching that Dodgers-Padres game tonight on the StatCast version of that was tremendous. I loved it. Give me more of that. I wish we could have that StatCast broadcast every single Sunday night. Not just for the needing of an alternative, but also because they're really good.
So since we're talking Dodgers-Padres, we can start with that, and then we'll get into the fab and all that. How do you feel about the Bauer Tatis stuff back and forth? Are you good with that? Do you not like that stuff? Where do you fall on that?
They seem like that was in pretty good fun, right?
Sure seem like it.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. It's the way the game is played, and they're both demonstrative players. I don't have any problem with it. I see so many other things where teams take offense for much lesser things. This was fun, and we need more of this.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Bauer stuff that, off the field that one can quibble with or problem with, but like the fact that he gives it but can also take it, I think is good. Like if you're gonna be out there and doing your celebrations and stomping off the mound and strutting off the mound, and then you get mad if somebody else does it, then that's a problem. But the fact that he was good with it, the fact that he laughed about it, him and Hosmer laughed about it, the fact that he and Tatis kind of went back and forth a little bit today, I think it's great. I think it's fun. People are talking about baseball right now. With the NFL draft coming this week, you rarely get that. So I think that's a really positive thing too. Yep. And, it may not – there are some people who don't like it, and I fully get that. But if baseball is going to – compete with these other sports, the NBA and the NFL, who are insanely popular, especially with the younger generation. Stuff like personality and stuff, having fun and bat flipping, all that kind of stuff. That's what people, that are younger than us tend to like.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Major League Baseball can't be consistent though. Nick Castellanos gets two games suspended and get no reduction in that suspension for
just the worst suspension. Nothing. It's just awful. The fact that he didn't even touch anybody and just like kind of flexed and yelled in the guy's face. I'm like, come on, find him $1,000. Let's move on. Like, just utterly stupid.
Right. Right. And then you see MVP vote getter Ryan Tepera getting three games down to two after admitting he purposely threw behind Brandon Woodward. I mean, that's the same suspension for something much, much worse in my eyes, but whatever. MLB just, you see some people you see the NFL fining for uniform violations and things like that. You realize there's hypocrisy in every sport.
There is.
It's still annoying to see it, but I was happy to see this. You know, it doesn't wipe out some terrible stuff that Bauer has done on Twitter and other things he said. I think that needs to be remembered.
I feel like he's matured a little bit in terms of that kind of stuff, at least though. And I think with the baseball side of it, I think he does get it. And I think some of his YouTube videos are just like, they're fascinating. Like him breaking down pitching more than I could ever do is like fun for me to watch. I mean, I find I find the intricacies of the game interesting. I find it fun. You know, I don't agree with him in everything he does in his life, but I find that aspect of it really fascinating.
And how many people do you agree with everything they do in their life? That's the thing too.
Just you, Jeff.
Oh yeah, I know that's not even true. Also, that's the sad part. But yeah, accessibility is a good thing for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And this is consistent with his stance when he had with Tim Anderson too. If you remember last year, Anderson took him deep. They sent like videos to each other. It was fun. It was light. It was great. And more than
anything else, you turn on SportsCenter, it actually leads off SportsCenter or leads off these big national shows Twitter is talking about it. Whereas, you know, usually it's here's what Steph Curry's doing. Here's what happened in the draft. People are talking about Bauer and Tatis right now. I think that's great.
And Dodgers Padres period. Amazing series. Yeah. I mean, this felt like a game seven. It was the seventh game and every single one of these games has had something awesome happen.
It's too bad that we're three weeks into the season. We've already had seven of those 19 games go by. But they have been fun.
We need a break. We need to pace ourselves and breathe after this.
Yeah, it was a great way to kick off the season. So, but let's jump into week five. We got a big week five coming up. 15 teams play seven games this week, Jeff. So it's going to be a very full schedule, not only for offense, but for guys making two starts, that sort of thing. We got a lot of two-star pitchers this week. Weirdly, with the big schedules, we do have five teams that have only five games this week. We've got the Nationals, the Blue Jays, the Padres, the Pirates, and the Mets only have five. So as you're setting your lineups this week, make sure you note that those teams, I think all of them are off on Monday and Thursday, so they have a lot of two-game weeks. If you're playing the NFBC, a two-game segment there is obviously something that matters there. No AL teams going to the NL, though, so that's always a good thing. Toronto's home all week in their National League game, so there's no DHs that lose at bats this week.
Yeah, that's right. That it's been pretty light on that, for the most part. We're going to have a heavy run here pretty soon, but it's interesting to see when the AL teams do go over, like which DHs do lose time. Like Nelson Cruz didn't play a single game in the field, whereas Franmil Reyes did play a game in the outfield already. Something worth noticing there.
And stole a base today.
And had a triple. He was a double beautiful. Away from the cycle at one point.
The triple was awesome. I think that was Saturday. The triple was really sweet. I did not see that coming anytime this year.
No, not at all. That was today, I'm pretty sure, because it was cold yesterday.
Yeah.
He did not do that anymore.
The Saturdays and Sundays kind of blend together for me sometimes. Yeah. But it's a nice seven-game week. If you're looking to kind of pick up some offense, pick up some players, the Yankees might get really hot this week. They're starting to hit a little bit, but still, you look at those batting average team, they're still pretty rough. But they have four at Baltimore and three against Detroit this week. That lines up really well to score some runs this week.
Yeah, and they're heating up overall too. I mean, they got a little well against Cleveland. And granted, they didn't hit very well yesterday against Bieber enough to win. Aaron Hicks got hurt though and didn't play today's game.
That
was bad timing after homering 2 days in a row.
Yeah, you felt like maybe he was finally starting to get warm, and I don't think we have a full indication if it's anything serious or not. It sounds like it was just a little bit of a tweak, but definitely something to watch as they go into Baltimore tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. I'm watching to see, like, is Gleyber Torres going to, sit every once in a while? Clint Frazier is getting that treatment already. And he's sitting, one out of every three games, it feels like. I might have to take an L on him at some point.
Got to wonder if that's going to happen to Gary Sanchez at some point. His backup's hitting the ball a little bit.
Yeah. Higgy Ashioka had a couple of bombs one game there, and he's looking pretty strong.
Yeah, and Sanchez is hitting hitting about 200 as usual, and it'll be interesting. I think he was hitting eighth today, so that you've started to see that maybe he'll lose some at bats. I think we had a while till that, but it could be something that does end up hurting him there. Kind of like the Cardinals week too. They have four at home against Philly. They do get Aaron Nolan in one of those games, but they have three at Pittsburgh. That's a nice week for maybe them to get hot. And Jeff, I don't know if you've noticed, but Dylan Carlson hitting second, hitting over 300. It's all starting to happen.
It's happening. It's happening.
I love it.
Yeah. And why would they change back? That's the thing. I hope not. You know, he was batting eighth to start the year.
Yeah. Eighth. And he had a couple of, he actually started kind of slow, but he had a couple of big home runs. He had a grand slam, a 3-run homer. He had a home run opening day, but he had some stuff that worked out really well, but then kind of went in a slump. But hitting second, I mean, that's a nice spot in that lineup. It feels like their top four or five is finally maybe the way that it should be.
Yeah, it seems right. And of course they got well against my Reds, because when the Reds come to town, it's at least two wins day, weekend there. Or your money back. It's one of the promotions for the best fans in baseball.
Do you want to just jump into my Reds question now before we get to Fab real quick?
Is it Castillo based?
Of course it is. What are we doing here? You see some stuff for like everything's like, oh, you know, the movements are the same, all that kind of stuff is good, and the swing strike rate's better and all that kind of stuff. I watch Castillo pitch, and he just doesn't look like a guy that and maybe it's just because it's been bad, but I don't feel comfortable when he's out there. I don't feel like he's dominating anyway. And it's been rough. And it feels like getting through an inning right now scoreless is tough for him.
Yeah, I agree. As a Reds fan, it's tough.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I tend to think you're kind of like Charlie Brown trying to kick the football watching him though, too. So looking at it through your lens there.
I agree, too. I think that I obviously am a little pessimistic on it. It's been frustrating to start because, I mean, you take him in the second round, you're like, here we go, and you see all the other guys around him dominating, and it's just –
well, yeah.
It's been tough.
When all the other aces are aces, except for Giolito on Monday and missing, not getting a start this weekend, but besides that, against Texas anyhow?
That was a tough 8 a.m. That was a tough 8 a.m. wake-up on the Giolito, giving up six runs before I got back from walking the dog.
You know, I funny thing is, I got him in one of my two mains, and I had a good week, except for my first round pick, or my second round pick. That's not true. I took Darvish in the first, got Giolito 2-2, functionally the same, basically. But that was frustrating. But other than that, I had a pretty good week.
If we hopefully we're in Vegas next year for drafts, I'm actually going to have you come over to my table, make my first two picks for me, and then I'm going to kick you out and leave, and I'm going to take over from then. How's that sound?
Seems like unfair, but sure, why not?
I struggle with the first two rounds always for some odd reason. I end up Christian Yelich, obviously, and we'll talk about him later. Talk about injuries. First two picks are doing me poorly again this year, Jeff. And the rest of the team looks pretty good too, which is frustrating.
What about your other main? What are your top two picks there?
Other main was Trevor Story, who's fine, who's starting to warm up, hit a grand slam today, and I'm not too worried there. He's healthy. Like my first round picks, just stay healthy. Like I know they're gonna come around. And then the second round pick was Scherzer, who's been really, really good. So that one's worked out well. My other one is Yelich and Castillo, which is probably the worst first round pick at the moment and the worst second round pick at the moment. So it's been rough. It's hanging in there. So if that can get them going, but I don't know. The Yelich news is, you know, they talked about Craig Council talking about him plateauing, and he had an MRI on his back and it revealed nothing significant. I guess that makes me feel better, but you know, he's not going to surgery tomorrow. But man, a back that's not getting better, that scares me a little bit.
Worst second round pick, Mondesi or Castillo?
Right now, Castillo.
Because you've had him active for all this.
Bad he's stuff. Actually been negative towards you. But yeah, obviously getting nothing from your guy is obviously really bad too. But it's been rough. Mondesi's kind of no news on him. Like I heard he's like kind of swinging, but not really. It's been a slow healing process.
Yeah. Obliques, there's 3 to 6 weeks, right? Yeah. And this one's more. And you know, the way they talked about it, it made it sound like it was one of the worst ones. It wasn't, it was never once day to day. It was like, oh, he's going to be out for a while, for weeks. And I said, okay, I assume it's six, you know?
If you're making pickups, the other one I want to mention before we get to Fab, the sneaky team I kind of like the Rangers offense this week. They have three against the Angels, and they miss both Bundy and Andrew Heaney. And they have four against Boston, who doesn't really scare me a lot. Eduardo Rodriguez pitched well over the weekend, but that's kind of a sneaky offense that probably nobody's really going to be moving towards to play seven games. If you're in a daily league or a weekly league, I think you pick it up Rangers week might work out well too.
Yeah, maybe so. I wish you would have mentioned something to me ahead of time. No, just kidding. You
just got to ask. I'm an open book. You got to ask the question. I'll give you the answer.
That is true. Okay. You did send an outline, I think, before Fab closed today.
I did. And I'm pretty sure last week I just sent you a big, bold 28 font that said Adolis Garcia, but you didn't listen to it, did you?
Yeah, okay, right. And every time I see him do something, I'm like, oh. Now I get the 28-point font every time he does something. That's when I get it.
I figure you just turn off your phone every time he hits a home run now, because I the text is coming within 30 seconds.
Yeah, I joked that you were late the other day. That's only because you were watching a Warriors game.
It was a fun week of having Garcia. I actually picked him up on both mains, and he pretty much played the role of Christian Yelich this week. So I guess that works out.
So, you know, is he for real? What you know? Give me more of your take on Adolis Garcia.
You know, I don't know if he's for real, but in Fab, I saw enough of that the 2019 minor league season with the Cardinals. I mean, you look at a guy that 32 home runs, 14 stolen bases. We're always looking for speed power guys, and they're hard to find in Fab. And the strikeout rate is way high, and it's eventually going to cause his batting average to be a problem. But you know, with a guy like that, you want him to get hot early, and that's all you're hoping for. Because he gets hot early, he kind of builds this bridge of being able to have playing time for the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, whatever it may be. So if he goes in a slump, he kind of builds a rapport with the team and the manager that they can kind of play him through a slump. Whereas if you start slow, you know, that slump is going to be, you know, back to the alternate site or wherever it may be. But I got lucky. He started hot. He has 5 home runs in 11 games. You got to think that that builds in some playing time for a while. But just playing into the speed power talent combo and kind of hoping to get hot at the right time, it just kind of worked this week. I mean, I don't know long term how long this will really work, but you know, I'm going to ride it for now. And he's hitting the middle of the order, which is really nice. And you know, that order is not great, but the top of that lineup is decent. You know, Calhoun's playing pretty well. Nate Lowe kind of started hot and then went in a big slump and kind of waking up a little bit, but I don't know. You give me someone in the middle of a lineup. You give me someone with some speed power upside, and I was kind of worth the shot. And it wasn't really pricey last week. Whereas this week, you saw if leagues he didn't get picked up, and I think you were mentioning we're offline. One of your main events, I think he went for over $100. So that's you know, getting someone like that early certainly makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's right. He went for 141 with a second place bid of 139. Good job. I mean that's Vlad. It's in the same league. It's Vlad's league, but it wasn't Vlad. That was the Fab Whisperer there.
We're going to refrain comment on the Fab Whisperer nickname.
Okay. It was Dave Klum, who is goes by Diamond King, and
good player too.
Yes, he is. It's a good league. It's a really good league. I hope to do well in it someday.
Hey, we got a long way to go, but So let's jump into Fab. We're talking about Garcia, but one of the big names, and he was taken, I think, in most main events, but available a lot of 12s, is Alex Kirilloff, called up by the Twins. Miguel Sano went on the DL. They call up Kirilloff. Sounds like, you know, if you read the quotes, it sounds like they want him to, you know, just play right field and kind of stick there. And, you know, they were doing the, you know, down for service time kind of thing. Did you have Kirilloff available in your leagues? How aggressive were you if you did?
Did not have him available in my leagues. It was real bummer that I couldn't bid on him anywhere. I was like, hopefully someone dropped him.
In like a 12-teamer, how do you feel about him? How strongly would you have gone? He was available in one of my 12s. I'm curious what you think of this bid, but where would you have gone, do you think?
I'm trying to learn from Fabapalooza, and yep. I would probably keep it around the 150 level.
Okay.
I think that's more modest than what he was going for, you know, players of his ilk were going for. And the thing is, he's actually got to produce, right?
Yeah.
And you know, he wasn't exactly on fire in spring training. Wasn't exactly on fire. So far, I don't think he's had a. Did he have a hit today?
I don't think he has a hit yet. No.
No.
He's 0-for-14.
Yeah, that's suboptimal.
Yeah.
He's a legit real prospect. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's funny. In 2019, he didn't crush AA.
Yeah, what is he?
756 OBS.
9 home runs, 7 stolen bases in 94 games. Like, that's workable, but not like right. I looked into that, and I looked at him, and I'm like, you know, I need to make a bid on him. Obviously, he's a prospect. There's a lot of people that do like him a lot. So I went in on him, but he went for 265 in my online, and I was not close to that for an outfielder that, you know, like you said, needs to produce at that price in a 12 where he's got to be really good.
Yeah, he does.
When there's always going to be good players available in a league like that. So it's just, if you're going to spend that amount of money, he's got to be like a difference maker.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I felt too.
Yeah.
I didn't see too many. This was a pretty calm week. I mean, there was one league where Jordan Romano was available, and that was the big bid in all my leagues so far. And that was Justin Mason. Who was just dying for saves in TGFBI. But you know, I otherwise, I mean, I'm just kind of like, there's some nice guys. I wanted to get Ryan Weathers where I could, and I got shut out. That's okay. I'll live with it. But that was kind of my idea. I wasn't going to go to the mat for anybody this week.
I kind of have the feeling that was a lot of people, a lot of, you know, like guys in the 60 to 80 range rather than the over 200, over 100 or 200. But we had, in my main event, we had two guys over 180. We had two drops last week that that turned out to, we had someone drop Jed Lowry last week. I'm not sure what they were hoping for Jed Lowry to do before that, because that was like 99th percentile Jed Lowry, but he was dropped. It was a little bit quieter this week, but did have a three-run homer the other night, but he went for 247 with a backup of 137. And then Michael A. Taylor with the Royals also got dropped, and he's been, you know, producing pretty well. He went for 182. Backup there was only 43. I was in on Taylor and got outbid. I needed pitching. Last week I needed offense. I dropped some pitching, so I kind of had to reverse course on that. And Lowry was tough. I have a situation now. It's a good problem to have with Gavin Lux coming back. I have Jazz Chisholm and Gavin Lux. I can only play one of them. It looks like kind of coming up. I mean, depth's a good thing to have, and that will, you know, at some point, it'll be the point where I'll need both of them. But I have Story, I have Colton Wong, I have Chisholm, and I have Gavin Lux. It's kind of a good problem to have at middle infield.
Yeah, that's true. And what's the latest on Lux? Is he coming back tomorrow? Or
yeah, supposed to be activated on Monday. They said at the minimum he's been at the alternate site this weekend playing games. So it sounds like he'll be ready to go on Monday.
Yeah, that's great. And that's really good, because you know the Dodgers, you could tell with Mount McKinstry tonight, they were hurting with bats coming off the bench.
Yeah, it's funny. You turn on the Dodgers Padres was so good, but then you watch the last couple innings and there were three or four guys in the Dodgers lineup. You're like, I didn't expect those guys up here anytime soon.
Right, and you know, Clayton, it resulted in Clayton Kershaw pinch hitting in extra innings too. Yeah. Although Padres, that's also Padres, just a roster management issue too.
Yeah, Padres walked as many guys as they could to get to the pitcher without scoring a run. It was I don't know, kind of funny, but like hate to see a pitcher hitting at that point, right?
I saw our mutual friend Sammy retweeting about that. That's the strategy, and yeah, he's got a point. You know, it's double switch. That's newfangled and fun until you see it 17 times, and you know, and then you're like, oh, that's not so fun anymore.
So you mentioned closers with Jordan Romano. Obviously, was not available in a lot of leagues, but the guy that kind of sniffing the job that was available in some spots, actually in most leagues, was Josh Stamont in Kansas City. Got a save this weekend, and then also came in the ninth inning up four. So they kind of used him like a closer this weekend. He didn't pitch today. They think they're up four again, and Wade Davis came in. But he's kind of an interesting guy. He's a big K rate, but a lot of walks. It's a concerning. In 2020, he had a 14% walk rate. You look at his minor league situation, and he's like over 15% many years in the minors. Has been a little bit better this year so far. He's about 9.5%, I think. But the K rate's only 22% this year, so maybe he's adjusting a little bit, trying to walk fewer guys. But obviously, a big strikeout guy, but a lot of walks. Do you think that Kansas City settles on him? Do you think they've had six guys get a save already this year, which seems crazy? Do you think they're kind of moving towards him? Do you think they're still fully committee? How were you on Stamont with your bids?
I think I tried to get him in some places. I think that once Holland comes back, he'll be part of the mix. You read the story on it, read the quotes. They're talking about everybody in the bullpen buying in on this.
Yeah.
And so this is by design. This isn't like we just kind of stumbled in this committee. I think they kind of want to keep everyone on toes. It might even be a financial vehicle too, for that matter. It might just be like, we don't want anybody to have too many saves. It's kind of like, and with Stamont, it's kind of like, if you like Trevor Rosenthal, wait till you get a hold of this one here. I mean, this is another guy straight out of the same model, you know, great, you know, hard to hit, but so you just don't swing. I was in on him. I did not go big, but he was, again, wasn't available in either of my mains. I don't think he was. I need to double check on that, but you know, he is available in the 12s, and one of my 12s, I've got like three closers in my active lineup already. I'm not going to put him in because he's a part-time guy anyhow.
Right.
It's hard. It was hard to justify a pretty big bid on him.
He was taken to both your mains. He was available in both of mine.
Yeah, I'm double checking, make sure I'm not, you know.
While you're doing that, he went for 81 and 88 in mine. I was in on him, but a little bit under that. I was kind of in the 60 to 70 range, just with the thought that, like you said, with Kansas City, everybody's buying in. The walk scared me a little bit, so I kind of eased off my bids a little bit. In one of those leagues, I don't really need saves, and one I really, really do. Mm-hmm. I didn't think there was a spot to spend $100 on him, and hopefully I don't regret that later.
Right. Yeah, in fact, I'm looking. I don't think he was available. Oh, no, he was available in TGFBI. He went really cheaply. Maybe I need to double check my priors here, but it's a scroll lower down. But I don't think he was. No, still not available in the mains. Nope.
Interesting. Since we're talking closers, we actually have a question from our friend Dusty Wagner talking about the A's closing situation, asking about Diekman or Trevino. I do still think it's Trevino's job. The way it worked out this week, Diekman got a couple saves. They used Trevino once in a high leverage spot, and then once they were just trying to ease off his usage. They've been pitching him a lot. I still think when Trevino's fine and healthy and hasn't been used a couple days before, and it's not a situation where like the eighth inning stacks up with like the middle of the lineup like they did the other night. I still think it's his. I don't think it'll be pure traditional, him in the ninth inning every time. But I think if it works out, I think most times probably a three quarters Trevino, one quarter Diekman kind of separation.
Yeah, I think that's right. And when you have a juggernaut like our A's, don't have that many save opportunities because they're winning by seven runs every time too. So they win in by quirky flukes and extra innings and like the worst throwing error of all time, but
maybe the worst throwing error of all time, by the way, you're not exaggerating with that one. The throw was so bad from Arias that I couldn't tell if it was more high or more wide. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. It wasn't Urias. It was Arias. He was so mad that we couldn't get his name right. So yeah, he threw it. He said, screw that. Now they'll remember me.
But you and I are fighting over his batting average, not knowing we're talking about different people. That was
completely different skill sets too. That's
I was like, are you sure his batting average is that good? Ryan Weathers, you mentioned a little bit earlier, pitched really well for the Padres against the Dodgers in this series. Five and a third on Thursday night, one hit, one walk, six strikeouts. He's a prospect. 29.6% K rate so far. It's only 15 innings, but 0.59 ERA will certainly jump out at you. In 2019, obviously didn't 2020, there was no minor leagues, but 2019, he was an A ball through 96 innings, 3.84 ERA. The walk rate was really good, which I like, under 5%, 23% K rate. He's on a really good team with Denelson Lamet. Who knows when he's coming back. Maury Hone is having Tommy John. So there's a job here for Weathers, which is the really key part of this, on a really good team. I was pretty aggressive with Weathers. I got outbid. I was in the kind of the 60 to 70 range again. He went for, I think, in the 80s in my main events. How are you feeling about Weathers coming off the really good outing?
I'm looking wistfully at one of my two main event leagues where he went for 100. I said I wanted to bid 113, and I talked with my partner, and we put that down to 79, and he went for 100. So he should have been mine. But I also think it's a long season, so I'm not – and there's what percentile chance that Lamet comes back? Comes back even in 2 or 3 weeks. It's possible still. Yeah. I mean, the Padres have been pretty circumspect about this, but judging how quickly Tatis came back, they got to take him a little bit at face value, and they said they want him coming back shortly after the minimum, right?
Can I take the under on innings, whatever number you give me?
I'll just take
the blind under. I don't even care what your number is.
But and the other issue too, though, with Weathers is how many innings is he going to throw?
Yeah,
they've got others. I mean, I was on the In This League podcast with Bogman and the Welsh, and they're pretty strident in thinking that we're not going to see Mackenzie Coor anytime soon. But nonetheless, he's going to hover at some point. He's in that part of that picture too, I would think.
Yeah, I think so too. And, they're deep and it's been interesting to see with them and the Dodgers, if they are like way, way ahead of the rest of the division. I know the Giants are playing well right now, but I'm going to hold off on thinking they're good yet. But, you wonder if they both are so far ahead, they're easily in the playoffs, how much they got to go for the division, right? Because with the expanded playoffs, that wild card game is a one game play-in, and that's something you really want to avoid. So it's interesting if the Padres can hang with the Dodgers enough striking distance to make the Dodgers kind of play all out the whole season or not.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And the thing about this too is, like, I was having this conversation on Twitter tonight with Nick Pollock that the thing about it is this can't even be an NLCS. It can't. It should be a World Series. It can't even be an NLCS. It has to be an NLDS if they meet up again in the playoffs, which is the best of five.
Unless you think someone from the Central or East gets extremely hot and has a better record than the Dodgers, you're right. It's going to be the NLDS at best.
Yeah, and that makes me very sad.
Yeah, it does me too. But speaking of the NL West, Austin Gomber is with the Rockies, and obviously that's scary because half his starts are in Coors Field, but Got two starts this week at San Francisco, at Arizona. So neither one in Coors Field, which is obviously a good thing. He's been good so far. 21.1 innings, 3.3 at ERA. Mm-hmm. A huge walk rate. That concerns me a little bit, but it's skewed a little bit. He had 7 walks in his first start. And obviously this early in the season, something like that is going to skew that number for a while. His right. last two starts have been six innings each, 13 strikeouts total, 4 walks total. So he's been better with the walks, 2 in each start. 2 earned runs and 3 earned runs in those two starts. In 2020 with St. Louis, he had a really good ERA. Still too many walks. So that's kind of the common problem with him. I wasn't super aggressive on Gomber, but I did have bids, and I actually got him in both mains by a couple bucks. It was in the 30s for him. I like the two starts. I like what he's done so far. Swing strike rate's not great. I don't think he's going to be a big K guy. I'm a little scared of it this week, but with the options out there, he was like my third or fourth guy, and I got outbid in the first couple of guys. So, apparently, I'm the Austin Gomber guy now.
You are. He was on my list. He was in my progression. I didn't get him, but he was one of my conditional guys. And it's two starts. I mean, sometimes you just need that, and you're trying to chase some wins. I don't, you know, that's always the problem with Colorado Rockies pitchers, though. I mean, you want two starts at home because there's a definite home field advantage. I mean, Gene McCaffrey has written about this for years. You know, when you're factoring things in, you want. You know, home field does matter, but yeah. You know, at the same time, you can't do that with Colorado pitchers. But
yeah,
you know, Arizona's surprisingly showing some fight offensively, and they're not that easy to stream against. San Francisco is kind of doing the same thing they did last year. Where
does Eduardo Escobar really have 7 home runs?
It's wild. It's wild.
I saw that number today. I was like, I knew he'd been hot and had a bunch of like 3 or 4 days in a row hit home runs. The 7 jumped out to me. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, there's a handful of people with 7, and one of them, and that's tied for the lead in baseball, one of which is a starting pitcher tomorrow.
Yes, it is. We're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani a little bit later, but it's been fun. There's another one that's, I think he's like 40 years old. You might have heard of him that also has 7 home runs. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I may have heard of him. I try to become the guy. You're still the guy. Trust me, you're still the boomstick guy.
Yeah, I'm still a Nelson Cruz guy, and I will be forever. And it's man, it's just so fun to watch dude hit. But one other starter here, Davey Garcia is from the Yankees, getting called up. He's starting Monday at Baltimore. It's interesting because it's possible he gets a second start, but it's also possible the Yankees are doing the 6-man just one time through to kind of give everybody an extra day, and then they go back and Kluber goes on Sunday because Kluber's pitching Tuesday. But Kluber's been terrible. Kluber hasn't gone deep into games. Kluber's hurting the bullpen because he's pitching 4 mm-hmm. innings every start. Wednesday is Domingo Germán. He might not pitch well either, and he's kind of, you know, on the fence a little bit too. They sent him down the alt site when they didn't need a fifth. So there are paths here for Garcia to get two starts this week. There are paths where he may not. You know, if he doesn't pitch well, he's not going to get the second start. But if he does pitch well, there's a chance the second start's home against Detroit, which is a start you want also. In 2020 in the majors, Garcia was pretty good, 34 innings, 22.6% K rate, but he nicely lowered his walk rate to 4.1%. Walks have been an issue for him in the minors. In 2019, he had a ton of Ks across AA and AAA, but the walk rate was high, 11%. It's kind of one of those high upside shots. Like, it may work terribly, you know, at Baltimore sometimes doesn't work as well as you want it to. You know, it's not a great lineup, but they tend to hit well there. What do you expect from Garcia this week? And do you have a feel for whether you think he pitches a second time this week?
I don't have a strong feel, but I was bidding on it because, I mean, hey, who doesn't want a start against Detroit right now?
I mean,
people are like coming out of retirement to pitch against them right now. It's definitely something you want. The tricky part though is, you know, we don't know about the 6-man if that's going to happen. But I mean, you look at the Yankees so far, and you know, a lot of angst has been spilled about the offense, and justifiably, it's been bad. But you know, Kluber's been bad, 5.40 ERA. Montgomery's up to 4.57 after a great first start. Germán obviously got sent down; he was so bad, and he was better in his last start. 6.23 though. Tyon's at 5.40. Mm-hmm. There's none, you know, they purposely said, we're not going to go pay for the big money contract. We're going to try to spread it around. We think we can spend our money more wisely this way. Well, you know, maybe they can. And, you know, again, it's still April. Last I checked, you know, we don't want to be making these overarching conclusions, especially when the weather's been so crappy for a lot of their games. So it affects pitchers too.
There's a lot of run here for someone to get hot and kind of take a job. Cause like the second, third, fourth, and fifth, like it's a bunch of guys and it's wide open. If someone can get hot and kind of lock in, I mean, if Garcia pitches well, they're not going to be like, oh, we can't miss a Kluber or Germán start. So I don't know. I think the path is there if he pitches well, but it's scary because he pitches poorly. You're not getting that second start. He's locked in your lineup all week.
Right.
I had some bits on it. The problem with Garcia in most of my leagues was.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If he wasn't drafted and dropped, he wasn't available this week because he hadn't pitched yet.
You know what? So that's right.
Yeah, he wasn't he wasn't available in either of my mains. He was available in my TGFBI. He got drafted and dropped there, but he wasn't. I couldn't even bid on him in most of my mains, so it wasn't a big decision for me. But he's an interesting piece. It's gonna be interesting to watch him on Monday and see what they end up doing because, like you said, the rest of the rotation, there's a lot of spots up for grabs here.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just and the thing is too, it's like. You know, you're just trying to get these two starts. You're trying to get some, steal some Ks, and so is everybody else too. And so you can't even get them. You can't really sneak them in for cheap either.
No. All right. Some more fab names, but first, real quick, a word from our sponsors.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Jeff, another pitcher here. Alex Wood has been really good so far for the Giants. 2 starts, 12 innings, 0.75 ERA, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk. Been really good. He's obviously a health issue guy always. He pitched 12 innings last year, 35 innings in 2018. His last full season was 2018 through 151 innings, a 3.68 ERA. Never had an ERA over 4 in a full season. So it was one of those guys like when he stays healthy, and it's been a while, is usually pretty decent. Kind of like Rich Hill that way, you know, recently, that whenever he pitches pretty good, although that's not working out this year. But in the past couple years, where were you on Wood? I was kind of in the middling group with him too, kind of bids in the 30s and 40s. I ended up getting outbid by a couple bucks.
Yeah, he was typically my second choice. You know, I prioritized Weathers first and then Wood second and got outbid both times. You know, one of them, he went over 100. And, Like you said, though, like he's good when he's healthy. He's in a good ballpark. Team's playing pretty well. I don't know. I think that, yeah, I definitely think he's worth a bid, and you won't get to face the Marlins every time. That you know, that's some of it there. The Marlins have been very streamable against. The Tigers have been too. But you look at his next couple starts, I think they're still pretty good starts. And that's the thing. It's there's more streaming opportunities this year. Yeah. Home start against the Rockies. Give me that. You know, you won't use them next week at Coors Field, but you'll use them this week against the Rockies.
Yeah, it's one of those things like at home, you're going to use them almost any time, probably not against the Dodgers, maybe not against the Padres, but there's going to be a lot of spots. And eventually they're going to play some, you know, games not in the division. I know we're in April and we get a lot of division games, but mm-hmm. you're going to play the Central, going to play the East, and whenever they come to San Francisco, you're going to use those, you know, against most of those teams. And as I looked at bids, I kind of had a little bit of regret. Maybe I wasn't a little more aggressive on Wood.
Yeah, I can see it. I can definitely see it there. And, you know, that's the thing is you can take a chance on the next. There'll be other ones that come up, but, you know, the Giants, you know, Logan Webb might be available in some leagues, although after today, you know, if you weren't paying attention to the day, then he's not available. But, you know, that's the thing is. So, but, yeah, you know, what do they do when they get Cueto back? That's the problem. Is who's going to get bounced out of that rotation?
I would think it's going to be Webb again because it was Webb last time, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Although he pitched really well today and had a triple into triple's alley there, but it's not going to be Gossman. It's not going to be Disco. It's not going to be Alex Wood. I don't think it'll be Aaron Sanchez, although he scares me because he's throwing the ball really slow right now. The velocity is way off, but you can't argue with the results so far, and they're not going to take him out of the rotation with good results just because the velo's down. But I think it'll be Webb now with the thought that maybe it's Sanchez a little bit, whether he gets hurt or starts to get hit with that velo.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Were you in on Chris Flexen at all? Been good so far this year, 2.7 ERA in 23 innings. He pitched in the KBO last year and pitched well, mm-hmm. 116 innings, an ERA right around 3 with a 28% K rate, a walk rate under 7%. He was really solid in the KBO last year and come back with a different pitch mix and all that. He was bad in AAA in 2019. So, you know, you have to kind of, you know, leap of faith that he fixed something when he was in the KBO. Were you in on him at all this week?
Only modestly. You know, yep. Josh Lindblom was also great in the KBO too, and
I thought he was going to be good this year.
Them's fighting words. I know for you and Zola.
Luckily, they took him out of the rotation before I drafted, so I ended up not getting him anywhere in any of my money leagues or NFBC leagues or big leagues. But I would have had some shares, and it would have been bad. He's been awful.
Yeah, really awful. Got hammered the other day by the Cubs.
Let's talk about some offense. I noticed that it felt to me like it was way more pitching interesting names this week in Fab than it was with offense. But mm-hmm. I'm going to mess up this name. Pavin Smith or Pavin Smith? Let me know.
I think it's Pavin.
Pavin Smith. He's playing with Christian Walker out. He's eligible in the NFBC at first base and outfield and playing well. He's hitting .288 over 70 plate appearances, 2 home runs, 11 runs, 7 RBIs. A really good strikeout guy. He's 17.7% right now, always under 20% in the minors, consistently across the board in all his minor league seasons. Mm-hmm. He played in double A in 2019. Obviously, we got to jump back because there's no minors in 2020. 291, 12 home runs, good walk and K rate. We're about the same, which is obviously really like to see. That's impressive. Good contact so far. Obviously, it's a small sample, but 57% hard hit rate, almost a 13% barrel rate. The guy's been hitting the ball well. In a lineup, he's been leading off in a lineup that's been scoring some runs. Were you in on Pavin at all?
Yeah, I was. Again, it was it's a question of where he's available. But yeah, I love that he's leading off.
Yeah, that's great.
I question what happens when they get Walker back. Obviously, that's a big deal, and Ketel Marte as well. Yeah. I think that's the other one that I think you have to worry about. Because you know he's a first base and outfielder, and so that kind of just cuts off two paths there. But we'll see. The Diamondbacks are kind of one of those weird teams that you look at their lineup like, who's that guy? That guy? Eduardo Escobar's got 7 homers, really? Oh, look, Castro, let's go pick him up. Oh wait, no, he's on the IL now too. And yet here they are still scoring runs, beating the Braves, spotting dimes, eating onions. I don't know.
Yeah, Cole Calhoun's hitting homer. They got someone named Wyatt Matheson playing a bunch of games. I don't know who I didn't know who that was until
he looks like
ago.
A Wyatt too.
He kind of does look like a Wyatt. David Peralta, our boy, a friend of the podcast, is raking. Had 7 RBIs the other night. It was beautiful.
He doesn't know that he's a friend of the podcast. Is the thing?
Does he have to know that to be a friend? I consider him almost like family.
Yes. Icon of the podcast.
Yeah, he's almost Teoscar level of friend of the podcast, but not quite.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Teoscar needs to come back. It sounds like he's close. So. Yeah.
There's a lot of guys like that coming back this week.
There are. Go ahead.
Hey, let's jump in on this question here real quick. Dave was asking about how about Jorge Soler? Will he be back to his 2019 self? Here's the thing. You know, you look at the hard hit, the average exit velocity, it's already there. Average exit velocity is 96th percentile. Hard hit percentage is 97th percentile. These are good things. The problem is he's doing the same thing he always does. He K's a ton. So you're never going to get a good batting average with him. As long as you're willing to deal with that, the weather's going to get nicer. The ball's going to fly out. He's going to get more results from that hard hit. You know, I think he had one 387 that was a double. He's had a couple other crunch jobs that came close. He's hit two out that have been no doubters so far. Take a chance on him.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think you're going to get what you're going to get. Hitting the ball really hard. The only thing that concerns me is that swinging strike rate's kind of creeping up a little higher than it was in 2019. Like 2019, it was 13%. Now it's almost 16%, which freaks me out a little bit. Because you look at 2019, he struck out a lot, but it was 26%. Like, that's a lot more workable than right now. He's at 32.5%. If he could drop that down in the high 20s, I think it just helps him a lot. Makes him, we're going from a guy you're worried about hitting 220, 230 to a guy that can hit 260 or so, and what he did in 2019. The 48 home runs is a high mark there, but I mean, he's hitting the ball a ton. He's hitting the ball hard. This lineup, once if we can get Mondesi back, he's going to have some guys in front that can score runs. I like his chance to drive in a lot of runs. So yeah, I think it's a time if you're going to buy low on Jorge Soler, I'd do it right now. If he's available in the league, I'd certainly pick him up.
Yeah, definitely.
A couple of names in Fab, real quick. Bobby Dalbec was available in some 12s. He got dropped. Strange year for him. He's hitting 240 with no home runs and 63 plate appearances. He has, but great contact, 44% hard hit, 17% barrel. So when he makes contact, it's great. The problem is he does strike out a lot. K rate's at 33.3%. Last year it was pretty high too. It was an issue in the minors. Last year he played 23 games, hit 8 home runs. So he kind of came in with the Red Sox when he made his debut with a pretty good home run rate there. 22% barrel rate, which is obviously crazy high. He's a power guy. I think that if you're okay dealing with some batting average ups and downs with the strikeout rate, but I got to think the power is going to come. The zero home runs is a little fluky to me right now.
Yeah, it is. The Ks are still there, though. The whiff rate is like he's like one of the worst at just swing and miss. I used him today.
18%. Oof. Yuck.
I used him today in DFS. Like, weak left-hander, Nick Margavicious, who was very weak. Dalbec never even got to face him, though.
I was going to ask you, I don't think Dalbec even got that far. Margavicious even got that far to face him.
No, the worst part about this was, they scored 4 runs in the first inning. 2 of my 4 Red Sox that I used were Xander Bogaerts and Bobby Dalbec. K and a ground into double play.
And Bogaerts struck out with the bases loaded, no outs, too.
That was fun.
That's a dream scenario in DFS. You're like, oh, my God, I guess if the bases loaded, I dream of this. And then the strikeout is just, that's rough.
Yeah, it was. Cry for me.
I think Austin Barnes hit 3 times tonight with the bases loaded. I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone do that.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
The Dodgers were 1-for-9 tonight with the bases loaded. That's hard to do also.
Yeah, hard to lose when you're up 7-1 for that matter.
I don't want to talk about it. That's just losing the Dustin May win was just like a stab and like the end of a terrible fantasy week. That was just, that was the worst.
Yeah.
I just need to wash all these stats away from this week. I need Zach Plesac to wake up to. He's in that Luis Castillo boat also. Last guy I want to ask you about in Fab before we get to a bunch of injuries. John Birdie in Miami was kind of their super utility guy and wasn't playing enough to really be viable, or it was really tough to use him unless you're in a daily league. But Brian Anderson went on the IL. Birdie's been playing a lot of third base. And if you need stolen bases, Birdie over 2019-2020 total, played 112 games between those two seasons, had 26 stolen bases, hit about 265. It's hard to find on waivers right now. It's hard to find some stolen bases. If Birdie's available, he's eligible at second and outfield. Might get eligible at third base too, because you're playing for Anderson, so you get the triple eligibility. A little bit of pop. He had 8 home runs in those 112 games, so not a lot, but maybe not a total zero there. I had a 38% hard hit rate in 2019. This is a guy that if you squint a little bit, I think he works out fantasy wise in a 15 teamer while Anderson's out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's streaming stolen bases. You know, it's just you got to hope he gets on. And that's always been the thing with him. But yeah, absolutely. I definitely worth a stab if he was available in your leagues.
Yeah. I actually picked him up last week because it was weird. I was in a spot where I needed a middle infielder and an outfielder, and I only had one spot. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to take the guy that does both and hope if I need him, he can fit into either one. So he played on my bench this week. But I held on to him. There are a couple of names that were available in my league, but I held on to Birdie. I'm going to see for a couple of weeks if I can sneak three or four stolen bases through here.
Let me squeak one more name in before we move on.
Please do. Please do.
Chu and I got Tyler O'Neill in both of our mains. And, you know, that – we actually paid a decent chunk. We actually drafted him and cut him in one of our two mains, so boot and rally. But I think it's well worth it. You know, I understand there's copious risk with batting average with him. Yeah. You know, he will strike out a bunch. But again, he's a power speed combo guy. The path to playing time is clear. We need power. You know, we need speed. And, you know, I understand, you know, it might not work out. But I thought it was well worth the risk. You know, you talked last week about how hard it is to find a good outfielder out there.
It is. It's tough.
In a 15 at least. And we're like, yeah, got to go after it there. And yes, there's some seriously heavy recency bias by, because he homered twice today.
Yeah.
That priced him up, but luckily we priced it pretty well on those. We got them with 59 to 57 in one of them.
Oh, nice. It's always fun when you get those. And it's funny, you mentioned power, but like he's a legit power guy. I mean, he had 26 home runs in AAA in 2018 in only 64 games. Then he had 11 home runs in 41 AAA games in 2019. It hasn't translated to the majors. He's had a lot of swing and miss in the majors, but you know, two home runs today. The Cardinals need some guys to play corner outfields. So you got to figure as long as he can stay healthy for a little bit, he's going to start every day. I like the play. I mean, he's got some speed. He stole some bases in the minors, so maybe you get a few stolen bases out of him too. And I think he's a guy that, kind of like we talked about with Adelis Garcia, if you can kind of time that hot streak well with a power hitter like this, he can work really well. He was one of those guys that I was looking to bid on. I just couldn't find a way to fit in another outfielder. I needed some pitching this week, but he was someone that I think in a 15-teamer, I may regret not trying to grab back.
Yeah, I was very, very happy with that to get him back at least. And unhappy with myself because I almost got Crichtoned again there, where you know one of my cuts turns out to be a pretty popular bid the next week.
Yeah, hopefully Crichton, he had a comebacker off his hand on Thursday, but I think they said he's fine. So hopefully he'll get the next save op for the Diamondbacks. But that's a good segue into some news and notes. We had a lot of injuries over the weekend, some stuff to cover here. First is Hyunjin Ryu. He left Sunday's start. It was disappointing because he had pitched like 3 1/3, had 5 strikeouts, was looking really good. And he had a minor right glute strain. There's a clip of him warming up in the bullpen before the game, and he kind of like stopped himself on a pitch, and you could tell something was bugging him. And they made a pitch in the fourth inning, kind of caught himself too. It seems like they caught it before it developed anything much worse. The manager said he would be fine. There's talk of him making the next start, but you know, you got to decide tomorrow whether to start him. He doesn't throw till next Saturday. I think he's probably a sit for me this week, with the hope that I can use him the week after.
So Toronto only has 5 games, so you can actually wait a day.
All right, that helps. As long as you have someone else,
16 teams playing tomorrow. So you got almost a 50-50 chance of having someone that you can slot in if you can buy that extra day.
And he would pitch against Atlanta, who has Ronald Acuna, and we're going to talk about later, a bunch of guys hitting 150. So maybe they're going to get hot at some point, but the Braves are cold right now, to say the least.
Yeah. Are we going to touch the third rail about whether it was a no-hitter or whether a hot dog is a sandwich?
We are very much going to touch the third rail, but not quite yet.
Okay.
Christian Yelich had an MRI on his back. This one is obviously very concerning to me. He was my first round pick in the main event, and I'm having much regret about that. The MRI revealed nothing significant, although the manager Craig Counsell said that Yelich had plateaued in like kind of recovering from his back injury. I'll admit to you, Jeff, this one scares the heck out of me. Yelich had back issues in the past. If he gets back on the field, I don't think he's gonna be stealing bases, which is a big problem because part of the reason you draft Christian Yelich, what you do is the stolen base upside. But obviously at this point, I just wanted my lineup, but man, a guy that swings this hard, hitting home runs with a back issue that they kind of plateaued and they can't figure it out. Like I'm extremely, my level of concern here is very high. I admit it's probably higher because I actually have him in a big league, but, I'm pretty worried about how this is going to impact the rest of his year.
Of course. You should be. 7 games at home this week, too.
Oh, I know.
Just gross.
It is, and that tell you what, that Brewers team is just weird right now. We talked about it, I think, last week with guys out. I think Lorenzo Cain might come back this week, but that lineup is nothing like it looked like a year ago. I tell you what, we loved that lineup a year ago, and there were so many names in there, and now it's just, I mean, even Avisan Garcia, who I like, was 0-16 this week. He did have a stolen base today, but didn't have a hit all week, and I picked him up because I was like, it's playing time. He's a good hitter, and I'm going to play him again this week, but it's just – and Keston Hira just hasn't really started to figure anything out. Every once in a while, he shows a flash in a game and then kind of goes back. And it's rough in Milwaukee on offense right now.
Yeah, as soon as everybody paid attention to how good Garcia is smoking the ball and got the sprint speed and all that,
right.
Got profiled by Sarah Langs on MLB Now. Of course, he goes into a slump. It was 2 years ago when we liked that Milwaukee lineup. They were terrible last year, too.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I think we liked him in the preseason last year.
Yeah, we did. In draft time, we did.
And they were really bad last year, to the point where we're like wondering, you know, what's going on there? What's going on? I mean, we love Miller Park, and usually it's a great place to hit. It's been strange there. Trey Turner, good news here. He left the game on Sunday after getting hit by a pitch. X-rays were negative. It's just a bruise for him. Sounds like it'll be a day or two on him. They do not play tomorrow. So it's one of those you can have like Ray, you can have an extra day to wait on. They play five next week. So, you know, if he sits that first game, it's not big deal. Maybe get him out for the first half that we can get him back in. Obviously, you want Turner when he's playing. But more than anything, good that he avoided a serious injury there.
Right.
Tommy Pham left the Sunday night game with some sort of leg injury. It's probably up now, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's a calf. Yeah.
It was weird though, because it was like he swung and like he caught him right away. It wasn't like he took a few steps and it caught him. He just kind of felt it right away and he came out of the game right away. Has not been a good start for Tommy Pham.
No, it has not. And you know, he's always got something going on injury wise too, and that's the thing. And you knew that going in when you drafted him. You knew, okay, you're going to miss some games. It's going to be frustrating, but there'll be times when he makes up for it because he'll be just red hot.
Yeah.
Well, that just hasn't happened yet. That's the thing. Calf injuries, I mean, it affects a guy that you're trying to get some stolen bases out of. I'll be leaning towards benching him this week. They have five games also this week too.
Yep, they're one of the five that does. So it's and you look at his stats. I mean, he's hitting the ball hard. The barrel rate's like 12%. So it's going to come around. The BABIP 220 with his speed and how his heart is in the ball. That's not going to stay. But you know, .172 is rough. And now he has this injury, and that you got to figure that if he doesn't go on the IL, it's going to be a few days with a calf. Like you said, we've seen calf injuries really linger. And like you said, with a stolen base guy, it's definitely concerning. Your boy Mike Yastrzemski left Sunday's game with oblique tightness, something we do not like to see. We've had a lot of oblique injuries so far this year. It's been rough. They have not said how serious it is. We don't know much there, but obviously that's one that you want to check on with the obliques and a hitter. It's definitely concerning. They do play tomorrow, three against Colorado, then three at the Padres. It could be a tough week for Yaz to get back to. For us
yeah,
to get back
and they start off against your boy, Austin Gomber. So, yeah. You know, that lefty on lefty, easy for them to give him a day.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And then, you know, with an oblique, it's just you worry, you know, one check swing or one is it can be longer. So they tend to be pretty cautious with those. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him, you know, maybe take a quick 10-day break.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at the schedule too, Gomber, you know, that's obviously puts the fear of God into him. Yeah. You got Marquez, Darvish, Snell, Musgrove this week. Yeah,
you do have Chichi Gonzalez, who is the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball.
We'll always have Chichi Gonzalez there. Yes.
Once upon a time, he was kind of an interesting name when he got called up, and boys have been bad since.
As a Ranger, he was interesting, but
yes,
yeah.
As a Ranger, never as a Rocky.
What a great fate, you know? Oh yeah, I finally got out of Texas. Oh, now you're in Colorado. Great, congratulations!
Just in time for Texas to move to a big, nice stadium that you can pitch in, right?
Yep.
Lance Lynn went on the IL last week. We talked about him. He's planning to return on Friday at Cleveland. Jeff, you have to make your decision tomorrow. Are you starting Lance Lynn this week with what we know at the moment?
Yeah, because I you know, he's like my number two starter. Yeah, I think I am.
I think I am too.
The White Sox have an interesting dilemma on their hands, though. Michael Kopech was awesome today.
Dude, awesome.
10 Ks, five innings. You know, you're stretching him out. You got Giolito, you know, he's coming back after, you know, getting his start pushed back by a couple of days. You can't kick out Rodon. You're not going to kick out Keuchel.
So Dylan Cease gets lit up on Thursday. They kick him out?
Is he going to get lit up by Detroit? If he gets lit up by Detroit, you should kick. By law, you should be kicked out.
That's true. That matchup does work out really well for him. But he hasn't gone
five
innings.
That's a real tough dilemma. Yeah.
Dylan Cease hasn't gone five innings yet.
No. Well, when you've got a high walk rate, it's hard to.
He's got three walks in every single start, and he hasn't gone five innings yet. That's not great.
Yeah. They're trying to get Kopech built up. I mean, that's what this year is all about, confidence-wise and length. Well, the confidence seems to be pretty well intact, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say so too. Yeah. That'd be interesting. I think Cease's start on Thursday might be pretty important for him.
Yep.
Because you're right. It's Giolito, Rodon, Lynn, and Keuchel aren't going anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Teoscar Hernandez, we talked about earlier. We're talking about family members. Played in a rehab game on Sunday. Cleared protocols on Friday. Sounds like he's just kind of maybe working off the rust, seeing how the COVID, if he's fully healthy. Sounds like he should be back pretty soon if things go well down there.
Right. And they're still in Florida now. So yes. That is for their home stand. Yeah. So they're off tomorrow. Two games against Washington, three games against Atlanta.
And on that same vein, George Springer, sounds like he's a good chance to return on Tuesday. They've been very cautious with him, you know, with the first injury, the oblique, and then the quad. Sounds like he's fully ready to go, and sounds like they're really making sure he's 100% before they put him in there. But I'm hoping I have someone I can decide on him on Tuesday between. But if he's playing on Tuesday, I'm itching to get him in the lineup.
Absolutely, and if you have Springer rostered, you're happy at the way they handled him.
Yeah,
right. Especially all this cold weather, all these cold weather games or turf, and you know, they play in the turf in Tampa Bay. I mean, like, yeah, just take your time, get ready.
Do you think that he'll he's able to take the leadoff role over from Kevin Biggio? Because Kevin Biggio has been playing so well.
I detect sarcasm there. Not always,
a little bit. I really like Kevin Biggio, but yeah, he's hitting under 200 right now. I don't think Springer's gonna have a problem by taking the leadoff role from anybody there.
Yeah. And Biggio might go down to seventh or eighth. He was batting sixth the other day against the Red Sox. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just ugly. He's not hitting the ball hard at all.
Jose Altuve is optimistic for a Monday return. Our friend Dusty Wagner, we mentioned earlier, is a big Astros fan. He thinks it's going to be Tuesday from listening to Dusty Baker talk. So, obviously, it's going to be early this week. They do play seven this week. I think that I'm playing Altuve either way, if it's Monday or Tuesday.
Yep. I'd agree.
Anthony Rendon will be activated Monday or Tuesday. We have a lot of guys coming back, Jeff. It's a good thing. We had so many injuries in the past, and now we got a lot of positive news here. Austin Nola, who hurt himself in spring training, the Padres catcher, could be back on Tuesday also. So anybody that's been holding him, it sounds like he'll be ready to go this week. They only have five this week, but anytime you can get a catcher back that's above average, you want to get him in there. Luke Voit, the Yankees, working at the alternate site right now, so it sounds like he's kind of making some progress. Mm-hmm. I never thought the Yankees would need him, his bat, back in the lineup so badly, though.
Yeah, I mean, what a bad week to miss here, too. This is the get-well week. And
it really is.
They really could use him. But then again, they face Houston and Washington. They could really, really use him those weeks, those games, that's for sure.
It's wild scrolling the Yankees lineup. I mean, you just don't expect it. And all those guys are hitting 200 or under. I mean, it's wild. Torres is 213. Stanton's 186. Aaron Hicks, 179. Sanchez, 196. Odor, 175. Although he hit a couple home runs. Clint Frazier.
Odor, what's he doing hitting 175? What a slump. Right. Oh.
Clint Frazier. We thought this is gonna, we just play Clint Frazier. Make sure you get him in the lineup. He's hitting .146, Jeff. It's got to be at some point that guy. I mean, he's played like 17 of the 20 games. I don't know how long that leash is right now. It seems like they're getting frustrated with him, and it's been ugly at bats too.
You know, when Voit comes back, it could be down goes Frazier.
That was pretty well done. How do you have one RBI playing on that team in 17 games? One. Then again, Brett Gardner has one RBI too, so there's that.
Yeah, at least they're balanced in their stinkiness.
And I mean, their first baseman on the opening day retired. I mean, Jay Bruce is gone. It's been a weird year. They're going to come around, but it's been a weird month there.
Did you put in for Mike Ford anywhere?
You know, I didn't. I thought about it. I just didn't quite need exactly there. But I mean, it's a spot that good setup this week with seven games,
six right-handers,
six righties. It's a good point too. And you know, it's a guy that's got some pop, and maybe you fall in some home runs. If you needed a corner this week, I think it was a pretty good play.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad at myself because I only bid three in AL Tout Wars, and Mike Gianelli got him for four out of 1,000. So that's shame on me. Ford might get six starts this week. That's actually a really good bid by Mike.
Yeah, I like that too. I did look at him, and it didn't work corner wise for me, and I needed something. It just didn't fit in my lineups. But yeah, I think that's an AL only for sure in a deeper league. I mean, that's when it's hard to find at bats, that could work really well this week.
Yeah, I think I should have been more aggressive. It's just like, this is a week. I don't want to go big. Hey, didn't. Yeah.
A little bit of Dodger news. Zach McKinstry went on the 10-day DL or IL with an oblique, expected to miss more than 10 days. I think he's pretty much a drop everywhere. By the time he comes back, he'll be also going to be healthy, which is a problem for his playing time. Corey Knebel, out a couple of months. It sounds like maybe the whole season. This is a bummer. I mean, it's funny. You watch the game tonight. You know, they didn't want to use Kenley on back-to-back, and they ended up going with Jimmy Nelson, and Jimmy Nelson looked terrible.
Yeah, and they gave two innings of him, too. I mean, yeah. It wasn't just Kenley. I mean, you know, it was also Trinan wasn't available because he worked hard lately. Scott Alexander wasn't available. You know, it was real impact right away. Again, you know, I you don't want to overstate the value of this one game. I mean, the fact that they're still in first place, it maybe gave the Padres some confidence, but it's a long season, you know, but all that. But, you know, that's why they're like, they don't regret not using Kenley here because they're thinking long haul with this.
Hey, yeah, I mean, let's be real. They're going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. Like, it's smart to take this way. It's frustrating as a fan. You obviously want them to win this game. These are big games against the Padres, but it's still April 25th. Like, it's a big game, but it's kind of
just. And they have 10 more days before they have 10 more games before they have a day off. And granted, our Reds are coming into town.
Yes.
Are
you heading out to the stadium at all?
I didn't even think about it. That's the sad part. Such a bad fan I am, but. You know, honestly,
it's kind of weird and different these days. I get that. I mean, and, you know, we actually we have the Dodgers on TV now, which has changed a lot of things too.
That's true. Not only that, but family stuff. I mean, I got something every night, so
yeah.
No, I won't be going out. And plus the Reds always suck in Dodger Stadium too. I mean, they on the road period this year apparently, but
15 team league. Do you start Sonny Gray this week? One at the Dodgers.
What's your alternative?
Know, right? Like that's my question. Like my alternative is not gonna be as good as Sonny Gray. I think I'm gonna use him. But it was funny because I go down like I'm checking out the guys. Oh, I'm using him this week for sure. I'm like, oh, Sonny Gray I'm like, oh, one at the Dodgers. But I think the Dodgers have just enough injuries and some secondary guys in there that I'm probably gonna do it.
Edwin Rios is gonna get hot for that just that one game, I think. But
yeah, he's
knowing how things go.
Yeah, two balls in the upper deck for sure. When Rios gets going, he gets going. But
he's 0 for his last 20, though.
I know he's been struggling.
Yeah.
Jake Odorizzi left Saturday start early with some right forearm soreness. Nothing you ever want to hear, but it led to the coolest relieving outing of the year. Emmanuel Kent?
Kent Emmanuel.
Kent Emmanuel went 8 2/3 in relief against the Angels. They had the Astros had about 170 runs in that game, so it was kind of easy pitching. But still, major league debut comes in. You're not expecting it. Those 8 2/3, those 90 pitches, that was pretty darn cool.
Did anybody pick him up in your leagues?
I looked at him and kind of was my biggest problem with him was I wasn't totally sure he's going to make this start. They have Luis Garcia also who is a better prospect and, you know, probably a better idea, but you just wonder if Dusty goes to a manager, kind of, he earned this start, you know, he coming in doing that yeoman's work and make 8 2/3. Like, I think Emmanuel's going to make that first start, but long-term, I think Garcia is probably the better prospect.
Garcia got the loss today, too, pitched in relief today. Yeah. So that's maybe an indicator, too, about usage. I like Garcia better, but even in AL Tout Wars, nobody bid on Kent Emmanuel. So,
yeah, he feels a little journeyman. What is he? He's like 29, right?
Yeah, 29, making his major league debut. I mean, what a huge effort, though, to save
awesome.
The bullpen.
Awesome. It was really cool. I remember I looked and I was like, I wonder who pitched that game after Odorizzi. I'm like, oh, it was only one guy the whole time. It was not what I expected. Yeah. But pretty.
By the way, Odorizzi cool. is a straight-up cut for you, right?
Straight-up cut.
Yep.
Yeah. Two other news and notes before we get some players I want to talk about real quick at the end. Mets land. Carlos Carrasco was in a scrimmage on Saturday targeting the second week of May. So if he was somehow still available in your league, now is definitely the time to pounce. It's probably a little bit too late to pounce. It's probably already been pounced on. And Noah Syndergaard threw an inter-squad game touching 97. I don't remember if he had his shirt on or off in that start. That's always a big thing with Syndergaard when you want to really test how he's doing. But Jeff, at what point do you pick up Syndergaard if you're in a more shallow league where he might be available?
Soon.
I was going to say, pretty soon, right?
Very soon.
Yeah, obviously, in a main event, that kind of he was drafted. But, you know, like a 10-team league, maybe something like that. If you don't have any IL spots, it was hard to do. But I think the time is now. If he happens to be available in a shallower league, I think the time is now to jump.
I'd agree.
Before we get to a few players here at the end, I want a quick note from our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy football season approaches, and you've got to check out the new best ball leagues on Underdog. Best ball is the ultimate test of your live draft skills. There's no in-season management. That's right. Draft your team, and Underdog automatically credits you with the best performing players every week. You don't need to play the waiver wire or worry about trades. It's just the draft. Who doesn't love drafting? In Underdog best ball, you draft as many times as you want because you don't have to do any roster management, saving you loads of time. Underdog's best ball leagues are drafting right now, starting at just $3. Once the season starts, Underdog also has daily fantasy and an all-new pick'em game. Go download the Underdog app now to get in on some best balls before the season starts. Enter promo code ROTOWIRE with your first deposit. Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee during your first month. Love Underdog or get your money back with promo code ROTOWIRE. Search Underdog in the App Store or enter promo code ROTOWIRE. So, Jeff, we'll talk about Madison Bumgarner now. Through what I consider a no-hitter. Apparently, MLB does not, but no-hitter on Sunday. 7 innings, 7 strikeouts, no hits, no walks. The only runner was a Nick Ahmed error, I believe. Do you consider no hitter or not, Jeff?
Yeah, but I don't think it's even that interesting a question. But yes, okay. I do think it's a no hitter.
It apparently was very interesting on Twitter today. Everybody was Everybody's really excited about that topic.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there are leagues where you get credit for no hitters. DraftKings, I think you get credit for no hitter. You get bonus points for that.
I felt like it was more people hate the 7-inning games as kind of a way to jump on that more than anything.
Probably a little bit. It just illustrates an illogical inconsistency with baseball. Right.
If you're going to count these games as real games, like, you know, you're making them 7 innings. He's not allowed to pitch any further. You kind of have to do it. I get why it wasn't before, you know, it wasn't a full game, but this is a full game. And major league guys are going to consider them real legitimate games. You kind of have to consider the achievements real and legitimate also.
Yeah. I think the more interesting question is, what do you do with him going forward? You know, because he pitched well against the Nats too.
Yeah. Both starts. He had 12 innings this week, 1 earned run, 2 wins. It was a great two step.
Two wins, 2 hits allowed. Pretty darn good. And, you know, guess what? He's facing the Marlins in his next start. No, the Rockies, excuse me, the Rockies, but Road Rockies.
Yes.
Yes. Or
and Rocky, lefties. Rocky Road, as Nick Pollock, a pitcher list, would call it.
Yeah, exactly. I blew that one completely. Good job, Jeff. But no, the second start, his start next week is against the Marlins in Miami. So, yeah, I mean, why not?
I want no part of it still.
Yeah. I didn't get him. I would have if I got a bid on my first 6 other guys.
Must have been on some benches this week in the main event, right? Didn't want to drop him, but didn't want to start him for 2. But
start him for this 2, though, I mean, yeah, you should have been cut, right?
Well, that's your topic tomorrow on the RotoWire show on SiriusXM, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean,
your co-host had them on the bench.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Good. I didn't even see that. Oh, that's already. I'm feeling. It's a happy day already.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I thought you'd seen that tweet this afternoon. Yeah, he tweeted it again.
I think I might have muted list. No, I didn't. But
there you go. He keeps.
Been on Twitter lately? Has there been any discussion about him lately?
Probably keeps you out of trouble to mute him. That's probably a good idea. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's still the ERA is still 6.3. But he was bad those first few starts. The velocity's up a little bit. Is you know you see some steps there, but man, hard hit rate's still 46%, over 40% the last 3 years. I don't know if you want to start him at home against the Rockies in a 1 start. I don't think it's a bad start, but I'm probably hoping to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I let's face it. I mean, it's a last resort sort of play still. I mean, even after throwing a no hitter, you know, and then a start where he had 1 run allowed in 5 innings. Even after all that, his ERA sits at 6.31.
Yeah. And, you know, K rate's up a little bit. It was 22% before today, so that's going to go up a little bit with today's 7 strikeouts and 7 innings. Mm-hmm. And obviously only 22 batters faced, so that's gonna rise nicely. But speaking of which, it takes me to the next topic, the Braves offense. Today they played a doubleheader against the Diamondbacks. They faced Zach Gallen and Madison Bumgarner. They played 2 games, 14 innings. They had 1 hit, Jeff. 1 hit.
One.
You take Ronald Acuna out. So he's leading off, been great. You look at guys 2 through 6. Freddie Freeman's hitting 204. Marcelo Zuna, 184. Cleanup man extraordinaire Ozzie Albies at 164. Travis d'Arnaud, 190. Dansby Swanson, 173. That is an absolutely unbelievable stretch of stats there. And like every once in a while, like you're always going to get a couple guys who start slow, but we're on April 25th. They have 5 guys hitting 2 through 6 that are under 205. That is astonishing to me. And those are big names, too.
And I'm not worried a whit about any of those guys.
None of them.
Tell me why I should be.
Well, because I didn't think Ozzie Albies. I thought Ozzie Albies was way overdrafted beforehand. So,
well, I don't have him anywhere, so I'm not worried about him. But here's the thing. No, yeah, am I worried that he's not worth his draft price? Sure, but do I think he's not worth his draft price? Yes, I do think he's not worth his draft price. Is he still a fourth or fifth round type of player? Yes, I think he is.
I wouldn't take him there still, but we've kind of talked about him. So here's my thing. I'm not worried about Freeman or Zuna or Travis d'Arnaud. Are you worried at all about Dansby Swanson? I mean, the 2020 was really good. The 2019 had that like half season breakout, and then he got hurt. Are you worried about him at all? Are you still pretty good on him?
I'm looking at him a little bit more. I want to be like Michael Scott. I'm putting on my brave face right now.
The strikeout rate so far scares me a little bit, but it's only 19 games. I get that, but 31.5%. Still hitting the ball hard, 49% hard hit rate. Barrels are down a little bit, but the swinging strike rate is up. Kind of where it was last year. It's almost 14%. If I had to pick one of these that I'm a little bit worried about, it's Swanson, just because he's been inconsistent his career and he had that nice stretch of games where he really thought he had broken out. He'd be the one guy here where I kind of want to see something soon to make me feel a little better.
Yeah, maybe I'm just living in denial a little bit, but I still think the prevailing thought for me is let it warm up. The ball will start flying a little bit more. They'll start heating up. That's the path I'm taking. I would never, in a trade league, I would never try to trade him right now.
No, I wouldn't either. I would, the guy to try to trade for right now is probably Marcelo Zuna.
I think that's probably right.
He's not hit the ball hard though. It's weird. He's always a good hard hit, right? He's at 36%, barrel rate's under 9%. He's been not hitting the ball hard, but you have 6-7 years straight of him being really good and hitting the ball hard. I think that's the guy that if I were in a trade league, I'd probably try and do like a, 80 cents on the dollar kind of trade for Marcelo Zuna right now. And I think you could probably get him.
Yeah, maybe you could. Maybe you could because he's been historically streaky.
Yeah. Shohei Ohtani, you mentioned earlier, hit his seventh home run on Sunday. Apparently he said he's pitching Tuesday, I think, and he wants to hit.
No, he's pitching Monday.
Tomorrow. He said he wants to hit also. So it sounds like he's going to hit and pitch, which is always a amount of fun. Like, it's wild watching his at-bats. I feel like he's the guy that like, it's kind of like when the Chris Davis with the K would get really, really hot and you couldn't get him out. And every fly ball was a home run. It seemed like every fly ball Ohtani hits, he has so much power. It's like every fly ball just goes out. He's got a 22% barrel rate, which is just freaking nuts. I mean, that's wild right there. They're letting him hit more regularly, which I think is the key to this whole thing. Our concerns in the preseason were like, if he pitches, he's not going to hit for a day or two, then not hit the day or two before, which they did in the past. He's mashing right now, 16 RBIs, 14 runs. It's really fun. It's great for baseball, and it's a blast to watch.
Yeah, and that home run he hit today was pure, too.
Yeah, it was smoked.
It was not a cheapie at all. Yeah. So next week, he's tentatively projected to have two starts. On Monday against the Rays, and then in both their home starts, the other one's against the Dodgers. So this week, obviously, I think you still use him as a hitter if you have that. If you're like you're in the NFBC and you have the choice,
right?
In a two-step week, it's not as clear. Actually, for me, it's still like crystal clear. You still use him as a hitter, but I mean, that's a lot of strikeouts, possibly.
It is. I'm just kind of looking at his game logs here. The problem is you just don't know how deep he's going to go in games. He's had issues with the walks and the control, and so it's hard to count. He's gone 4.2 and 4 innings in his two starts and 11 walks in that stretch. I think I'm using him as a hitter no matter what.
Yeah, it's funny though. He's got a 1.04 ERA and a 1.62 WHIP. You would think it'd be the other way around, but
that is pretty wild.
Yeah, 14 Ks. But he's only made two starts. I mean, that's the thing. I want to see him in the start on Monday, and if he dominates against the Rangers, I'm going to be at least a little tempted.
Yeah, the two-start week definitely is the one factor where you can maybe think about it. And then you look at that two-start week though. That means he's got 7 games to hit too. So he's got 7 home games. Now, granted, it's Tampa and it's the Dodgers, so that's pretty good pitching. So maybe that factors in a little bit. But I think you're right. I think this Monday's start, and if he can go over 5 innings, maybe qualify for a win. That matters if you're throwing him as a starter.
Right. And just while we're digging in the minutia of a week ahead of in advance, if they do the starters hold, he'll face 4 lefties that week: Yarbrough, Fleming, Hill, and Urias. So I don't know.
That could be a fun discussion.
Five and Kershaw too. Sorry,
a fun discussion for next week, possibly then.
Yes.
We talked about the A's and all their wins, and I was hoping we get one today so I could tell you that we'd spent three podcasts since they last lost a game. But among all the good cheer there, Matt Chapman's been really, really scuffling. Hitting 158, three home runs, 11 RBIs. And it's funny, you look at his profile, and like everything we liked was how much better he got from 2017, 2018, then 2018, 2019. The strikeout rate was slowly going down. Last year he had some strikeout problems, but you know, he was hurt a lot and it was a short season. We kind of throw those out, but I don't know, the strikeouts are back. The swinging strike rate's at 12%. The strikeout rate is 33% so far after 35% last year. Still in the ball hard, it's like a 12.5% barrel rate, 42% hard hit rate. And he said that he had an interview today and he said that, you know, sometimes I just start slow and I'm trying to do all the small things to help the team win and all that kind of stuff. But I know I'm a little bit worried that all these gains we saw from 2017 to 2019 have kind of all gone away, and it's a lot of bad stuff in there right now. I still think he's going to be fine hitting the ball hard, but I'm a touch concerned about his offensive profile right now.
As you should be. I mean, he's coming back from a hip injury, and yep. I got to imagine his mechanics got to be not perfect. You know,
they look a touch off when you watch him. It looks like there's something a little bit uncomfortable, and he's kind of starting to still figure it out. Maybe just some rust he needs to knock off.
Yeah. A week ago or 2 weeks ago, a Monday game against the Diamondbacks, he had three hits and I think a homer and like a double in that one. He looked locked in on that game. I'm like, yep. Okay, he's turning it around. He hasn't had a multi-hit game since.
Yeah, he's had a lot of guys on base too, because they haven't scored a lot of runs, just leaving a lot of guys out there. It's been, I'm sure, frustrating for him to kind of not knock those guys in. Another guy who's really struggling, I want to ask you about, is Dylan Moore in Seattle. A brutal start. He's hitting a .117. We talk about bad, and there's bad, and there's Dylan Moore, and there's all the way to the bottom, there's Danny Jansen, who is literally the worst hitter in baseball. Danny Jansen's his slash line is worse than the pitcher slash line in the National League, which is officially, that's really bad. But Moore's at 117, 71 plate appearances, only one home run, does have four stolen bases. So he's giving you a little bit of value there. Yeah. The things we liked about him though, the K rate really dropped in 2020, and he had his breakout season in the short season. It's gone back up. It's up to like 33.8%. Swing striker is actually down. So maybe there's a little bit of room to grow there. Hard hit rate's down too, though. I mean, we liked that last year's in the 40s. Now he's down in the 38%. Yeah. The BABIP's killing him. But my question with him for you is, how long does Seattle wait on this? Like, I know that as fantasy owners, you know, he's got four stolen bases. The BABIP's low. We think it's going to come back a little bit. But how long does Seattle let him hit this poorly and keep him in the lineup?
You know, Kelnick was dealing with a non-COVID illness. That might be their latest cover for not calling him up. But can't be too much longer. They go to Houston for four games. You think Friday night, home against the Angels, you see Jared Kelnick's major league debut?
Wow, you think it's this quick, huh? Because like the last quote was like not imminent, and it just didn't seem like they were on the verge of doing it, but maybe.
Which is so stupid, though, but why?
Of course this. I don't know.
I mean, I just.
They said he needs more work hitting lefties at the alternate site.
Yeah, so do I, but I mean, I don't know. Just come on. I mean, just do it.
Speaking of you hitting lefties, are you guys back playing softball yet?
No, I don't think we're going to be back for a while, which is scary because we're old.
Yeah, I know. We aren't either. I'm worried about that first game. If I decide to unretire, I'm worried about how many muscles I'm going to pull the first time I'm running to first base, because it's going to be multiple.
I know for at least one guy on our team is retired.
Oh, really?
And, you know, we're a bunch of – I'm almost 50, but there's plenty of 50-somethings on my team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were kind of at that precipice anyhow. We might lose a guy, but now it's going to be like almost two full years before we play.
Wow.
LA is always like they're going to go kicking and screaming. That'll be like the last thing that opens up, I think, because it's not essential.
For sure. On a happier note, your Reds, Jesse Winker is crushing right now. Yes, hitting 381, four home runs through 69 plate appearances. His hard contact was huge last year. Is really good. He's actually increased. He's at 54%, 17% barrel rate guy right now. The K rate's down, which I like to see, because last year he kind of bumped up. It was up to 25%. He's always under 20% before last year. Mm-hmm. Now he's back down to 20%. He's never gonna be a stolen base guy, but leading off for your Reds, you know, as it gets warming up in Cincinnati this summer, it's a really good place to hit. He had 16 home runs in 113 games in 2019. I think we're gonna see a number that flies past that this year.
Yeah, I love they're just playing him every day, lefty, righty. Yeah. Just they're leaving him alone. Just stay healthy. It's working. Why mess with it? He's the one guy that's hitting on the road too. Castellanos had two hits today also, but Winker every day he's doing something.
So before we get out of here, we do have a question in the chat here. Someone asked if they should drop catcher Will Smith. They already have Wilson Contreras. I guess my answer would be if you're in a one or two catcher league is the key here. If you're in a two catcher league, there's no way I drop Will Smith. He's going to come around. I know Austin Barnes is playing a little bit, but we kind of knew that was going to happen. But if you're in a two catcher league, no way. If you're in a one catcher league and have a limited bench, I have no problem dropping a catcher when you already have Contreras, though. I wouldn't carry two if you don't have to.
I mean, trade Contreras.
Well, yeah, if you could trade someone, sure. But in a one catcher league, trading catcher tends to be kind of tough.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't play in one catcher leagues. Actually, that's true. Yahoo Friends and Family. I wouldn't draft two catchers in a one catcher league. Let's put it that way. But yeah, I mean, he even stole a base today. Austin Barnes' presence is annoying. I get it, but
I think Will Smith is going to hit, and in a two catcher league, there's no way I drop him. In a one catcher league, that's a tough call. You're right. I think
I don't drop him even then. Definitely. Ray tried. He says he'll see if anyone wants to trade for us. Yeah, absolutely. Do that. Trade Contreras if that's what it takes. This is a guy that's way too valuable. He's too good to be out there on the waiver wire. You don't want. I would hate it if my rival in this league, true, whoever you think is going to win, got a free good catcher because you dropped him. That's the nightmare. One more question from Dusty. Worried about Senzel yet? Yes, I am.
I feel pretty good about Senzel. Hard hit rate is up. The BABIP's down. I think that's going to come back up. He's too fast. I think it's going to be it's going to come around. If I were in a trade league, Senzel's a guy that I'd be still trading for. I still like what I see. Yeah, he's striking out a nice amount. 15.5% is a really good number there. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about Senzel yet. I think that I'd like to buy him low if I were in a trade league.
Okay. Well, I hope you're right. And then, you know, the thing is, I worry a little bit about the playing time. Naquin's still there, and they're going to get Akiyama back probably at the conclusion of this road trip. They're showing he's getting some reps at the alternate training site the other day, so he's progressing pretty well. That's just one more mouth to feed. We'll see. Yeah, I think the Jonathan Indy experiment is starting to take a southward turn too. So unfortunately, so cool. You know, Senzel played some second base today.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, he can strike out there too.
Anybody else? Anybody else you want to talk about? We've gone a little bit long here. Our first time on the live stream here. Anybody else that you want to talk about before we jump?
No, I'm good.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Sunday night / Monday morning version. We always appreciate that. Again, if you please rate or review the podcast, if you enjoy listening to us, enjoy watching us, you can leave a bunch of stars, a nice comment that goes a long way towards help people find the podcast, which is always a very good thing for everybody involved here. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. Jeff, anything to promote or talk about for the week coming up?
No, just that I hope you guys enjoyed the StreamYard, the experience here. We're getting used to the software, the platform, but I think we're going to be, we like this, that it's going to get out the video a lot quicker.
Do you know who's coming on as your guest on Thursday yet this week?
I do. I'm actually talking with SP Streamer.
Nice. That'll be good.
Yeah, I'm going to be Michael Simeone, and looking forward to that. And I hope I pronounced his name properly. I'll know it for sure by Thursday, but looking forward to that. And, hey, keep, you know, and if there's anybody you want in the industry that, you know, that I haven't had yet on the Thursday podcast, just DM me or tweet at me and let me know, and we'll see what we can do.
And I will actually be on the Triple Play Fantasy Podcast on Tuesday night. I'm guesting there. I think you did that.
That's fun. You're going
to
like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those guys. I've been talking to them a little bit and kind of getting ready for that. So I'm looking forward to that. So definitely tune into that. Should be a lot of fun. Apparently they're going to do some trivia game that I'm going to lose mightily on, I'm sure, for no doubt there.
You don't lose sports trivia games. That's a lie.
That used to be true. And I, at some point I've gotten old, and like I was telling them, like, if you want to give me, like, I can tell you though, who won the World Series from 85 to 2010, like without thinking about it. But like everything from 2010 kind of sounds a little fuzzy. I think like work wise and having a kid and getting married, I think I like lost all the trivia. I think I'm just getting old and forgetful. Like I can remember everything in the 80s and 90s, and past that, it gets a little fuzzy.
Oh, okay. Well, you just have to do a little practicing before then.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe I'll pull up the old Stump the Schwab videos and run some drills.
Nice.
Cool. Well, thanks again, everyone, for listening. We will be back at you next Sunday night. Hope everybody enjoyed. And other than that, hope everybody has a good one and take care.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.